Welcome to the Torati Mecha Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Chanaleah Rappaport, and today we will be learning Sefer Shmuel Beis Parakei. We ended yesterday's Parak Dalet, with Ishbosheth being killed and the last real threat to the Melucha of David gone. And with David's reactions, he has earned the loyalty of the entire Jewish nation. Pasuk Aleph, Ve'yoveu kol shiftei Israel el David chevrona, Ve'yemru lemar, Hinenu, Atzmecha uvesarcha anachnu. All the tribes came to David in Hebron, where he had been king, and they said to him, "We are yours, we are your flesh and your blood." There is and has been a question on David HaMelech's Yichus. David comes from Rus. Rus was a convert from Moab, and in the Torah it says we are not allowed to have a convert from Moab. The Rabbanim had said that this refers only to men and not to women, and therefore Rus was allowed to become a Jew, she was allowed to get married, and David was a real Jew. However, this had always been hanging over him, this question, this aspersion that perhaps he wasn't a real Jew. And by the Jewish people coming and saying, "You are our flesh and blood," this was telling him, what they were telling him is, you belong to the Jewish nation. And now all the elders of all the tribes, of all the Shvatim, are going to come and anoint him. They acknowledge that even in the time of Shaul, he had been given the divine right to rule. They say to him, "Vayomer Hashem lecha," we know that God, that Hashem has told you, "Ata tireh es ami, es Yisrael," you should be the shepherd of my flock of Yisrael, my nation Yisrael, "Va'ata tireh lenagid al Yisrael," and you should be the leader, the king on Yisrael. And they are pointing to the two qualities of the king. Be a leader, yes, on Yisrael, but do it softly, like a shepherd does. David was specifically chosen as many of our leaders because he had the qualities of a shepherd. It says in Tehillim that Hashem chose David, and he took him from the Mechla'os Tzoin, from the place where the sheep are, the gates of the sheep, because he chose him. Yalkut Shemoni says Hashem always tests his leaders with little things. He saw that David was responsible and took his sheep far away so that there shouldn't be a doubt that perhaps he was stealing the grass that his sheep were grazing on property that belonged to others. This is the challenge and the obligation of being a king. Be a leader, and yet know that you are the shepherd. You are just an emissary of Hashem. And the question is, there were three things that may stand in the way of being a king, of David being a king. Is he himself ra'ui to be king? Is he himself proper to be king? Is he fitting to be king? One. Two, do the people want him? And three, does Hashem want him? And in here, we have the answer to all three. We know, we acknowledge that Hashem told you, and you are, as a shepherd has proven yourself, and you will continue to be a good leader for us all, and we want you to do it. And in Pasuk Gimel, all the Ziknei Yisrael come to Hebron, and they make a bris, Vayichres lahem hamelech David bris v'chevron, they make a covenant in Hebron, lifnei Hashem, before Hashem, and they anointed him on all of Yisrael. Even though he's already been anointed by Shmuel, and he's already been anointed by his tribe, by Yehuda, now it's the entire Jewish nation. In Divrei Hayamim, which complements, say, for all the Sfarim, it gives us the same story, but it often adds in details, or sometimes we have the details in Shmuel. In this case, Divrei Hayamim adds that they stayed there for 3 days, and they ate, and they drank, and they were happy. Ki simcha b'Yisrael. It was a joyous time for Yisrael. David was 30 years, ben shleishim shana, David b'malcha in Pasuk Dalet, and he rules for 40 years. B'chevron malach al Yehuda sheva shanim v'shisha chadashim. In Chevron he was a king for 7 years and 6 months. Uvi Yerushalayim malach shleishim v'shalei shana. And in Yerushalayim he was a king for 33 years. If you do the math, that gives us an extra 6 months, which leads to all the commentators to try and figure out what are these 6 months. Perhaps it's when he was running away from his son Avshalom, as we'll see later on, or perhaps it's rounding off of a year. But whatever the case is, now David is king, and it's time for him to take over Yerushalayim. Politically, it made sense because there was this piece of land which was between Yehuda and Binyamin. Yerushalayim belongs to both tribes, and these are the two tribes, the two Shvatim, that are the most essential to bring together because Shaul came from Binyamin, and he wants to bring them together. And this little piece of land that belongs to both of them is where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. And he understood it's now time to start to build. rebuilt HaKadosh Baruch Hu's house. Now that I am a king and now that I have my rulership, my kingdom, it's time to build Hashem's house. And he sends messengers to the Yevusi. The Yevusi are the ones that own Yerushalayim at this time. And they respond to David saying in Pasuk Vav, Lai Savayhena, don't come here. Ki im hesircha ha'ivrim v'hapischim lemar lai yavai David hena. You won't be able to come here because you won't be able to remove the Ivrim and the Pischim, the blind and the lame people who are there to say that David cannot come here. So on a pshat level, the city is so strong that it's unconquerable. The Sifri said that they put blind and lame people up near the gate and said, even if we were only protected by people who ostensibly can't fight, you'll never be able to fight us. We're so strong, you cannot conquer us. And on a perush miyuchas l'Rashi, that is miyuchas, that is attributed to Rashi on Divrei HaYamim, it says that they put blind and lame people there because it would be an embarrassment for a king like David to have to fight blind and lame people, and then he would have to figure out another way to fight because it wouldn't be to his honor to fight them. But the Medrash gives us a deeper reason for these blind and lame people, and they said the reason that they had not ever taken over Yerushalayim, meaning in the times of Yeshua and the Shoftim, why was Yerushalayim not theirs? It's because that the people from Yevusi were from the descendants of Avimelech, and there was a covenant that had been made with Avimelech that said that we're not going to conquer your land for three generations. That was the covenant. And therefore, in Sefer Shoftim, when they get to this place, it says, Ve'es ha-Yevusi yoshev Yerushalayim lo yochlu. The Yevusi tribe that lives in Yerushalayim, they were not able to conquer. And the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Yechaylim hayu, ela shalay hayu resha'in. They were able to, but they didn't have permission to. Meaning, there was this bris that stood in the way. And this, the third generation, is long gone. Hundreds of years have passed since then. But the Yevusi, they still relied on the bris, on the assumption that David wouldn't come because of this bris. Now, who are the blind and the lame? They represent our avos, our forefathers. The blind one represents Yitzchak, because he was blind, and the lame one representing Yaakov, who was hit by the angel that he was fighting, and from that time he limped on a foot. On his foot. The promise that was made was that the Jews would not go through the Sha'ar, the gate, and that's why they put statues on by the gate. Yoav will figure out how to get around it. The Medrash talks about him attaching himself to a young tree, and they pulled the tree back to the ground and let go, and he went flying over the wall, so he didn't have to interact with the blind and the lame statues that were there, or the covenant that was there. Meaning, the covenant is over a long time ago, but the Yevusim were still holding on to the fact that they would never fight them. Well, they were wrong, because in Pasuk Zayin, Vayilkai David es Mitzudas Tzion, here, he ear David. And he conquers the mitzudas of the fortress, the tower of Tzion. Here we see Yerushalayim called Tzion. Of course, we still refer to it as Tzion. Tzion because it is mitzuyan. It is outstanding. It is a place that has been established for us. Tzion also means a mark. It's a designated place. And Yerushalayim is our designated place and has always been. So David captures the gate, the tower, but the gates and the city still have to be conquered. And David offers a reward to whomever could topple these blind and lame statues, and they did, and the Jews are victorious. Vayeshev David b'mtsuda, and David goes and he lives in this tower, Vayikra la ir David, and he calls it the city of David, Vayivan David saviv min hamilei uvaisa. And David builds from the milei inside. It's unclear what this milei is and what it actually he's doing with it. It could be that this is the inner fortification of the wall, or perhaps outside of his tower. But basically what it means is that there's a low wall that he builds, allowing other people to come and build it. Meaning, however we're going to translate this milei, the implications are there's an expansion of the city that gives opportunity for many more people to come and live there while giving big open spaces for people to gather. In Pasuk Yod, Vayelech David Halaych V'Gadol, David becomes bigger and greater, but although he becomes so big, and here is something very unusual, he's becoming very big, V'Hashem Elekei Tzvakais Imai. The more successful he was, the more he realized that it was only because Hashem was with him. the more successful he was, the more anava he had, the more humility he had, and the more humility he had, the more Hashem was with him. It's a reciprocal arrangement. There's no such thing as success without Hashem being there. That kind of success doesn't last and has no value. We have three names of Hashem. Hashem is the name of mercy, Elakim, the name of justice, and Tzvakos, which is a more unfamiliar name for us. It comes from the word Tzava, army, which means that it gives success to those fighting the wars of Hashem, which is what David was doing. Here, David writes the third bracha in benching, the bracha for Yerushalayim. The part that Shlomo HaMelech is going to add is going to be about the Beis HaMikdash after he builds it. And then, Vayishlach Hiram, Melech Tzar, Malachim, the king of Hiram, the king of Tzar, sends all kinds of gifts in order to be able to build. And he sends Atzei Arazim, he sends cedar woods, and they build for David a house. The Tzurim have a relationship with the Jews since Yehuda, the forefather of David HaMelech, married Bathshua. They are a merchant nation and realized that the Jews were on their way up and they wanted to develop this relationship. There is a bit of a complaint here against David that he allows his palace to be built before the Beis HaMikdash, and his son Shlomo will rectify this. This gift that Hiram sends is going to give David a lot of chizuk. Ve'yeda David ki hachinai Hashem l'melech al Yisrael, v'chi nisei mamlachtai ba'avor ama Yisrael. David knows that if even all the other nations around it are going to are bringing him gifts and are subjugating themselves to him, then that means to him that this melucha has been established by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I understand ki hechinai Hashem prepared me to be a vessel to bring about a Kiddush Hashem. All the preparations which started from his interesting birth and being found by Shmuel and chased by Shaul, all the preparations to get to this day, now he can look back and see why it was all needed, to say everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right from the start. This is a small taste what it will be like in Mirtz Hashem in Mashiach's time, where everybody around us will know and will recognize. I saw years ago a National Geographic graph of the great empires of the world, and it showed it on a timeline, and it was interesting for me to see that during David and Shlomo's time, indeed, the kingdom of Judea is recognized there. It's written down there as the greatest empire of the time period was the kingdom of Judea. So it was nice to see that. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayikach David oid pilagshim v'nashim Yerushalayim. David takes more wives and pilagshim from Yerushalayim after he came from Hebron, and he had many more sons and daughters. Pasuk Yud Gimel is possibly written in the wrong order, because many of these wives that he's going to be taking were after the story that's going to happen, the story of David and Bathsheba. But according to the Das Sofrim, he is looking for the woman who is appropriate to be the mother of the crown prince. And for this, he married a different woman. And it's kind of setting a foreshadowing for the story of David and Bathsheba. It will help us understand that story a bit. The Navi lists the sons who were born, including many who will be born later, much after the story of David and Bathsheba. In Pasuk Yud Zayin, the first 7 years were years of peace, but now, because they saw that he was establishing himself as a king, and also because Yevus was from a Plishti family, the Plishtim are now going to come and fight. In Pasuk Yud Zayin, Veishmu Plishtim, ki mashchu es David lemelech al Yisrael, that David had been anointed as the king of Yisrael, Alu kol plishtim levakeshes David, and all the plishtim are going to come up to look for David, to try and conquer David, and David hears and he comes down to fight them. Usually wars are essentially a punishment for sin, as we saw throughout the whole Sefer Shoftim, but here we don't see a sin, so perhaps it's an opportunity. This war is an opportunity, meaning sometimes Yisurim, punishment or difficulties, come to us to punish us for something. Sometimes they come to us as an opportunity, and this is an opportunity for the Jews to cleanse the Plishtim from the country. It's going to happen with the Nes. They will realize it's Ratzon Hashem. And because it's not a punishment, we'll see that they will hardly have any challenges here. the Plishtim come and they spread themselves out because they're confident that they're going to take over the whole land. And a pasuk yotes by Yishal David b'Hashem, and David asks Hashem, should I go up against the Plishtim? Will you give them in my hand? Usually one asks the Urim v'Tumim, asks only one question at a time, but here he asks two questions at once, perhaps because there wasn't time. They're all here. Or perhaps because he was confused. In Divrei Hayamim it says, Vayishal David be'elekim, the name of justice, Midas Hadin. He couldn't understand why this war is happening. What's going on here? And Hashem says to him, go and you will be victorious. And he does. He goes and he fights them and he makes a party to celebrate it. And he names the place where this victory happened Baal Protzim, because he says, I was able to conquer them, and they flowed away. Lefrotz is like a gush of water. They flowed away like water falls out of a broken vessel. And they ran away, and they left all their idols there, which David destroys. And now we're going to have a big test for David, because the Plishtim will come back. And that's a big problem. It's a big question. We made the victory party already. We've already conquered them. Why are they back? So he asks David again. David asks Hashem again. And he says, should I go and fight them again? And this time Hashem says, don't go. Don't go and fight them. Now this is very hard because he already fought them and he was victorious. So why are they here again? And why shouldn't I go? And he says, Hashem says, wait. Wait for them to come up. And when you're going to hear whispers in the trees, you're going to know, Rashi says, you're going to hear the noise of the malachim, of the angels who are going to come and help fight. Only when you hear the whispers, that's when you should go and you should fight them. It's a problem, right? And you're not going to fight, meaning you're not going to be the one that's fighting. Hashem is going to fight and he's going to destroy them for you. And it's difficult, meaning you're a general of an army and you're letting them get the advantage. You're letting them spread out. And you know that you are strong enough to fight them because you already have fought them. And you fought them naturally, seemingly naturally. But here, you have to wait and you'll see what's going to happen. And there is Nesan Teva mixed up here, meaning when they hear the sounds in the trees, they're going to think that lots of people are coming as well to fight them. But also, of course, there's the Nes part of here. The big Nisayan, the big test, and if you remember Shaul's test back in Shmuel Aleph, the big test is that the Plishtim are already there. They are four Amos away, and the whole Jewish nation is standing there and saying, why are we just standing here? Let's do something. The Plishtim are going to come and they're going to kill us. And David tells them, according to the Psikta Rabasi, if we spread out our hands, if we do something, we are going to die because we didn't listen to the command of Hashem. And if we don't do anything, and if we wait, then perhaps, like you say, we will die by the Plishtim. But it's better for us to die tzaddikim and not to die rishaim. We have to put our faith in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, levadei sheyirachem aleinu. He should have pity on us. And as soon as he said this and they all agreed to listen, they heard the trees, the whisper in the trees, and then they were able to go and to be victorious. And the parak ends with David's victory. Ve'yas David Cain. David did exactly as he was told to do. Kasher tzivahu Hashem, like Hashem commanded them. Vayach es plishtim, and he conquered the plishtim. Migeva ad bayach hagazer, and we won't hear much about the plishtim after this. And it causes a great fear of David to fall on all of his enemies. Hashem is going to show this incident to the malachim when Shmuel goes to anoint David way back then. And the angels say, Ma bein Shaul le David, why are you choosing David over Shaul? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows them this future event and says, look at the difference between Shaul and David. It was a scary moment. It was a very scary moment to allow the Plishtim to gain control and to wait for something obscure like hearing the whispers in the trees. And yet David was able to conquer his natural will, which is, let me go and fight them. Let me go and do something. I need to do something. It's really hard not to do something. And Hashem says, this is why I am choosing David over Shaul. Thank you for studying together. Li'ilui nishmot imahotenu hayikarot, Esther Oppenheimer, Allah Hashalom, and Sarah Shankar, Allah Hashalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.